Alexander Hamilton, Samuel Colt, Calamity Jane, Rasputin, Frida Kahlo, Lon Chaney, Edith Piaf, Judy Garland, Jack Kerouac. What do these famous people all have in common? They all shined bright in their own respective fields, then died at the age of 47. As this show embarks on its 47th episode of the second season, whatever a season of a podcast is, will we join this illustrious group, or will we continue on toiling in obscurity for the foreseeable future? Keep listening to find out the answer and more. My name's Brandon.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Matt.
And this is Qualified Nonsense.
Well, this is the last one, so I hope it's a good one.
Bring it on. Death, I am your bitch lover.
What was the best thing to happen to you guys this week? Like, very best, toppity-top, tippity-top.
I decided to take up fishing, and I fell down a hill on my second day of fishing.
My man. I
caught nothing.
And you caught nothing? Yeah, but did you have like a
good time?
Like a tranquil time? Yeah.
Yeah. It actually is. Like, fishing is, I never really did it, and I apologize to my dad. He probably would have loved to take me out, but like, I just didn't have the patience for it. And recently I have a friend who is very successful at it. Shout out to Relentless Angling. They have a online presence as well, but he's been very gracious and supportive. Lending his time and his knowledge of getting me started. So it's the most zen I've been in quite some time.
Yeah.
Have you just gone by yourself?
Yeah. Yeah. He's also gracious to give me a couple of spots to think about. So went there and made myself look like a fool in front of the veterans.
Nice. I mean, it's yeah, okay. Fishing is, it is nice. I mean, I think, you know, I think back to when my grandpa took Luke and I out fishing, and he wanted to get up really, really early in the morning, like ask crack of dawn, go out on the boat and fish. They had a place in Eastern Oregon and on a reservoir, and like half of it was just being quiet, right? Just like enjoying the silence of the morning and like hearing the world wake up. Yeah, but good on you getting out there. Good on you making time for it, because it's tough to make time for that sort of stuff. But it
obviously has to fit within life, you know.
Sure.
My wife is either not working that day, or I do have some flexibility in my roles with work that I can take some time away. And I do go in the early morning, which there is something really cool about just like waking up and being either the only one on the road. And then you're on the only one on the road for the longest time, and you show up to the spot and there's like three other guys there, and you're like, yeah, you had the same idea. Cool. And yeah, like the world waking up, I think, is a perfect way to put it, Jake. Like the spot I've been consistently going to is there's three herons that live near there. And yeah, normally we would also see eagles, but no eagles, but like family of deers just walk through. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it's like very river runs through it kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then some guy next to you just lights up a cigarette, and you're like, oh, well, there you go.
Okay, well.
Which did happen.
Flicks like, it in the water when he's done.
Yeah. Fuck the fish.
Get in my net.
Yeah, I went quite a bit as a kid with my dad, but I always just wanted to like play in the water. And yeah, I didn't really have a lot of patience for it.
Yeah.
We do have a fishing pole, but Krisha just thought that we should have one just in case of emergencies. So, like, I've never actually used it, but.
So you have a gun too, right?
Not that she knows about.
Two of them.
Luckily she doesn't listen.
She sees them every day.
What's up?
Are you gonna keep doing it?
I am. It's one of those, like, I didn't realize how frustrating it would be. Like, one of the days I went there, like, I was the guy in the middle, and the two guys on either end were both catching fish, and I was like catching nothing. And he even brought one of his kids, and he was throwing rocks in the water. I was like, oh, Yeah, and this is in a river, so the salmon are going and steelhead and all that. So it is time for them to start heading upstream, and they're on a mission. But I was like, stop fucking just throwing rocks. And why are you catching fish?
God damn it.
Yeah, there's a guy at the last men's group thing that I went to on Sunday, and he was talking about taking a class from this local place, a fly fishing class, where they like take you out to a pond and like teach you all the fly fishing stuff, and was talking about like maybe doing it like as a group thing and
do it.
I think that'd be fun.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, that's a whole art.
When I was a kid, my dad was getting into fly fishing, and he was practicing his cast in the road or on the sidewalk of our house, with not with a hook or anything, just the art of it. And I was like running back and forth, and he cast it, like he pulled it in such a way, and it went like right across my face. It made like a light mark, but I remember like just being shocked and hurt. And I don't think he ever even noticed, but I was just like, because I would have been scared. He'd be like, well, you shouldn't have been running through there anyway. You know,
can't you see him cast it on the street?
Yeah, like I literally got whipped by a fly fishing rod. Maybe that's why I just am now getting into it. I'm finally healed emotionally from that event.
A little trauma kept you away from it.
Do you just stand on the bank of the water and do it?
Yeah, I have like waders.
Meters or anything?
Yeah, I have waders, so I can get in pretty deep if I wanted to. I picked those up after I went out the first time, and I stepped in the water with my boots, and of course, like, waves came up and it went up and over into my boot, and I was like, well, now I'm wet too. Yep. Cool.
Fucking hate fishing. Yeah. another way, so speaking of being outside and enjoying it, we are currently in fall migration for birding, and I find that's I think I've actually probably talked about it many times on this podcast, but that's a really wonderful way to enjoy nature in a non sort of invasive way. Like it's just very passive. You just sort of are out there and you listen and you wait for movement and you look at, you know, you practice with binoculars and get good at finding them. And
do you have spots that you go to?
Uh-huh. Around here there's a few spots. There's Sandy Creek, which is only a couple miles away, and there's like a couple of ponds. We see herons and egrets and different kinds of woodpeckers, and it's fun. But yeah, I definitely recommend that too, because that's another it is a little bit like fishing. You need equipment, and it's not much, but a good pair of binoculars is more reasonable than it used to be, but it's still kind of expensive, but they make a world of difference when you're out checking.
Do you have like birds. A guidebook with you?
We have an app now. We used to carry around a Eastern birds in North America. And sometimes we still reference it, but Merlin, is the name of the app. It's, developed by the folks at the ornithologists at Cornell University. And it's a really interesting app. Cause you can just do recordings of your area, and it detects what it hears, and it tells you sort of what to look out for, which is pretty fun. Because a lot of times it hears something and you're like, what, that's here? And you're like looking around being, yeah, I mean, this is pretty nerdy, but
what if you have what if you have a parrot that cusses? If you played it on the microphone, could it pick up what kind of version of parrot that still is?
Probably not, but it might. But usually I think they're specific to the sort of natural calls that it has. So if
that
it
would
has,
be really, like, I guess that'd be hard to do, to write a program that can identify birds by their calls. That means you have to have at least samples of all these birds.
Well, so that's the thing. They have that's why it's Cornell University that developed it, is because they have a huge library of everything bird related. But speaking of which, my neighbor, who's a developer at Google, he wrote a little program for this little Raspberry Pi computer to sit in his backyard, and it does just that. It records, it has a microphone on it. It intakes audio sounds, and it relays it against an audio bank of birds. And so he's been able to detect things and frequencies. And so he's been building out little like dashboards and stuff. It's pretty fun. Hmm. Anyway.
Here's a fun fact. The character named James Bond, when Ian Fleming was writing his first book, Casino Royale, he came up with, like, he just wanted like kind of a generic name for the character. And he had this book called Birds of the West Indies by James Bond. And James Bond is like kind of a semi-famous ornithologist.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. That's great.
Yeah. But speaking of birds, with fall migration, we had, it was one day, I think it was Friday, three birds hit our sliding glass door.
Oh, geez.
One of them was killed. But
oh, yeah. No.
That's, yeah. Yeah. So we, last year, I for some reason got a wild itch. I was at Fred Meyer, and, you know, Fred Meyer separates everything, like groceries and like home goods on one side. And for some reason, I ended up over in the like gardening section. I was like, you know what? I should get a hummingbird feeder. It was pretty cheap. I was like, I'm gonna hang it up, because I had heard if you hang it up, they're really quick to find it, even if they're not necessarily hanging out in your area. Mm-hmm. So I hung one up, excuse me, and it's on our deck, and it's 8 feet from our sliding glass window, and the sunrise has always hit our sliding glass window, so we usually keep our curtains closed. So should be no big reason for a bird to hit it. You can see that it's a window. We have killed so many hummingbirds.
Killed hummingbirds?
Yeah, they keep hitting our sliding glass window. But I think, here's what I think, because we've had it up for over a year, you know, they're super territorial, right?
Yeah.
So they fight all the damn time. And I think it's just because they're like,
Question. Do you have the curtains closed when this happens?
Yeah. We always keep it closed because we have killed not just hummingbirds. We've killed so many birds over the years, especially in our first couple years here, because we're like, man, what is this? What's happening? And so we kept it closed, and it helped for a period of time.
Well, not to put a damper in your plan, but if you put something like a curtain dark behind, is it dark or is it white?
No, it's beige.
Oh,
pretty light.
I wonder if it creates more of a mirror effect if you put something directly behind it, like a curtain.
I don't know.
Yeah, after the birds hitting our window, I was looking into it, and there's these like prismatic decals you can put on your window that are supposed to, you know,
help give them a heads up.
Yeah.
They look like Pink Floyd things or something.
Nice.
I mean, you can get like any design you want. You know, you can get just shapes, or if you want them in the shape of birds or in the shape of trees, oh, or gotcha, whatever, like just like, but
just line your windows with tinfoil.
Yeah, tinfoil does the trick. Put a little sign out there and just say like, hey birds, like look out for the window.
Stop fighting in my yard.
Hummingbirds are really funny because they're so small, but man, they're aggressive. They're like,
very,
if there's a second one there, they have a lot to say to it.
We like to
chase each other, and
we like to sit out there like at sunset sometimes because it's just nice. It's not like the sun isn't beating on you, but we have found several times we can't be sitting out there because they'll like bomb our heads. If you sit still, they're totally fine, but if you move, they get really upset that you're sitting next to their feeder because they're super skittish.
Do they nest?
Yeah, we looked it up.
No, I mean, well, like, I wonder if they have a nest near you, because like, I feel like I've been around a lot of bird feeders, and they're kind of like, they argue with each other, but they don't really go after people. But I wonder if they're like,
unbeknownst. I don't mean like anger. Well, they're obviously not happy about it, but they don't dive bomb us. I think they're mostly curious, but I'm just not used to birds getting that close to me.
Yeah. And
they get uncomfortably like, close.
It's like,
yeah.
Have you seen those like so those fast hats that people get, and they like cover themselves up with a blanket, and they have the hummingbirds come up to them?
There's a person on TikTok that does, like, they do these holders. They have these holder things, and they come up and just like get on there. Apparently that brings you joy somehow. But hummingbirds get really close for comfort, and I just can never tell which way they're going to go. Like they're kind of shifty.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're pretty shifty. So there's a place in Costa Rica that we went for our honeymoon called Savegre that was just like a mountainside full of like all different kinds of hummingbirds, like big for hummingbirds is like this big, like, I don't know, 4 inches, I guess. And then smaller, like an inch and a half or 2 inches. And they have all these feeders out in this hotel that we were staying at. And so you would walk outside and it would just be this like loud hum of like hundreds of them. And it was like, it was a little bit overwhelming, but it was like,
sounds like the forest is going
to
take off.
They were just like, yeah, exactly.
You're like sprinting out of the building to the street.
Yeah.
Like there's like yellow jackets or something all over
here. Yeah, exactly.
Well, now that our listeners are educated on birding.
Wait, Brandon, did you have any good good reports for the week?
I mean, nothing too exciting. I
just killing birds. Okay.
Yeah, just killing birds with my house.
Well, they're not real. They're not real anyway.
No, I mean this is kind of a bummer, but the bird that did die was a dove, and I know it and its mate would hang out in our yard, and I saw its mate fly away, which is...
Man, who invited this guy to the party? Jesus.
So I...
Scooping her partner up off, just opening the trash lid. I feel like I should say something. Well, donk.
Yeah, so I made a bird a widow or widower. I'm not sure.
You're the widow maker, yeah.
God damn. That's what they call you on the street. All the birds are like, don't go to that house. He's the widow maker.
See, but you're at least the person that would think about that. I'd be like, ew, gross. It had to die, right? Ugh.
Oh.
I mean, I did bury it. I didn't just throw it in the garbage. But
you buried it? That's so interesting. Yeah. I buried a bird yesterday? Yesterday. One of our chickens was feeling rotten, like, I don't know, 3 days ago. It started being really slow, and then I quarantined it, and I tried to give it a comfortable end of life, and then I was basically hospice for this fucking chicken whose name was Dumpling, and she was a real sweetie, and then she died, so then I buried her. So
you didn't eat her? I guess you might not want to eat that.
No, she was like... She was like suffering from something. She had something.
You didn't let the other chickens eat it when they eat her?
Matt, I am concerned about you. Not in like
don't
a
chickens
big...
what, like can't they eat off of that?
I mean, yes, they are omnivores, but like I would not leave a chicken to just be food for the rest. That's...
Well, especially also, if it's like, suffering from some illness.
Yeah, I think it was like suffering from some sort of illness.
I guess chickens are like really susceptible to, like, they seem like real wimps when it comes to diseases. They catch every disease, I feel like.
Which was bizarre because this particular chicken would like, when we would free range them, she would go out and immediately find a snake and eat it. And we'd be like, where the fuck did you get that from? And she'd be like whipping around. She definitely thought she was a Tyrannosaurus Rex or something. And we're like, you're a badass.
That's a good use of a snake of a chicken though. Like go forth and kill snakes.
Kill snakes.
Kill or be killed.
Well, now that we're all feeling happy and great
about avian death.
I need to refill my tissue box so I can wipe the tears from my eyes. And then maybe we can
let's go
get into it.
All right, we'll be right back.
Have you ever looked up into the sky and thought, huh, what is that? Well, that's the
universe.
And today, the universe is saying, have a good day.
And welcome back. Feel free to drop us a line at qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or connect with us on our socials. Now's the time on the show where we take on Reddit's most pressing queries by finding the top trending questions and answering them here. Our first question comes to us from Ask Reddit, username ThrexianX.
Nice.
They ask, is paying for porn better than just watching it for free, and why?
I don't know. Can I answer this?
is paying for porn? Well, okay. Always paying for
who pays for it now,
is
though?
Better. Right.
Yeah, I guess, like, from that standpoint, I don't know if that's what they're. I mean, that's really all they wrote is paying for porn better than just watching it for free, and why?
I want to say no,
but I mean,
yeah. I guess I don't know, you're probably not sourcing like actual movies if you're not paying for it. But do people do that anymore? Do people watch porn movies?
I mean, honestly, it's the same thing as pirating Hollywood films. It's the same infraction or gig. You know what I mean? Like, they're performers. There's a production cost. There's a value to that production. And if you steal it, or if you, in some other free mechanism, like pirate it, then that's shitty for the artists.
This is coming from somebody who clearly doesn't watch porn.
How does
these are actors production facilities were had?
Wait,
there was an editing team.
They come that often? No, they're definitely actors.
Well, how, I mean, with you know, so much free porn around, how does the porn industry exist? Does it still exist, or is it just a shell of its former self? And like, everything is just based on ad revenue or clicks or something. And
there is still the sense of like OnlyFans, right? Wouldn't that be paying for porn? I know that's not what right. They're, like, and quote unquote, I mean, yeah, that, not that's what like we a are, different but that's model. Not sure.
But that's, I mean, that like is more like paying there. Paying the performer real. Directly.
Yeah, I mean, it's that and that's actually, interestingly enough, like, a lot of independent artists are going the sort of exclusive independent production route for, you know, like Dropout TV. I don't know if you guys watch that at all. Corridor Digital, these are companies that were exhausted by the YouTube algorithms as being their source of income and being subjected to the bullshit of the quote unquote industry, that they stood up their own platforms. They got the technologists on their side to stand up their own platforms, and then they sell just their stuff for a, you know, whatever the relatively low cost is to, you know, serve it to lots of people. And I would imagine some adult entertainment studios do the same thing. I don't know specifically, but
also it would make you feel better if you went and subscribed to our OnlyFans. Nice segue for a plug.
Oh yeah,
you good can plug. Find us at
yeah, we... I mean, I guess I don't know, like it's like what you want to, it depends on what you want to get out of it, I suppose. Like if you
critical
have any sort
thinking.
Of
I want to be challenged.
Well, if you have any sort of ethics about it, I guess paying for something is better than not paying for it or getting it for free, pirated or whatever.
Ethically, I don't think there's a question.
Yeah, but the subject matter we're talking about, I think ethics are a little shaky on some of them. Some of the connoisseurs.
I don't know. I think that the same can be said for big budget Hollywood films. The ethics are super dodgy, just as dodgy as the adult in entertainment industry.
I mean,
fair.
25 years ago, you pretty much had to pay for it, you know, either through going to, you know, a porno store, renting a movie, or getting a magazine, or maybe you would find porn in the woods somehow or whatever.
Yeah. Do you remember when we went to Dane's cabin and we had to like clean it? Was it Dane's? No. We met Dane at the cabin in Lincoln City, and they had just evicted somebody from their rental property, and they took everything. And he came, and there was like 50 porn DVDs. He's like, "Do you remember that?"
I don't think
he had,
I was
like,
there
this,
for that.
He had like he had like the whole stack.
Yeah, just like, when they're in like those spools.
Yeah, those like spools, your burn CD pools that you do. He's like, well, look at how much these guys had. And he had a PS2 or something with it too. Plug it in.
Plug it in. Set it up. Press that play button. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I think that something that is interesting to discuss is the ethics behind it, because I think people put it into a separate ethical category from like mainstream Hollywood or even like independent films or television or whatever.
Not view them as real artists.
Well, it's not even about the art, right? Because like half the shit that's in theaters is a stretch to call it art. And or rather that's not even fair. Like art is in the eye of the beholder, blah blah blah, right? So it's not even about the art of it. It's about the effort that it takes and the energy and the actual finances that it takes to produce something, whatever it is. And regardless as to how you feel about consenting adults making videos while they're having sex or naked or whatever, like the ethics, if you zoom out, it's the same shit. People are doing something for money. They are paid to do it. There's a production value, and they should get that. They should get that commission.
It does seem like paying for it is more popular now than it has been in the recent past. You know, with OnlyFans and all of that, people be able to subscribe or to, you know, performers or companies that they enjoy.
I think the allure to that is that it's more personalized. Like it feels more interpersonal and real. It's like, I subscribe to this one person's channel and they're talking to me, you know, versus like the Empire Strips Back. You're like, I don't know, they're just making a movie, you know, or Indiana Jones and the Temple of Poon. It's like, well, it's not even about me, you know, but if you get on an OnlyFans, they're like, but
yeah, I guess it feels like you have more access to that person than before.
I wish you had rattled off like 15 other titles. You're like, just as an example, you know, as an example.
Part two, not
swipe
part
a couple
one.
Of the DVDs on top of that spool.
He's just like reading through.
Poon Raider Part Two is the best, not one.
Poon Raider. Oh man.
Yeah, my parents listen to this.
Speaking of OnlyFans, we've talked about it in our DMs a couple of times, trying to figure out how we're gonna generate some finances. But would you guys ever do an OnlyFans? I think we've talked about this before.
100%.
Refresh my
100%.
What's stopping you?
Ethics. Nice. No. I just don't think the world's quite ready for it.
Oh shit. Yeah, no, that's real though. That's real.
All right, what's stopping me? Let's see. Ideas to make it unique for men. I'm not even going to lead off with the fact of like hiding it from my family. I'm just going to assume we all know that that would be the case.
Yeah.
Like, hey guys, we need to wrap up this recording because this backdrop here is going to get real kinky in a minute. And you guys are in the splash zone.
Yeah, the splash zone. Honestly, like confidence is the thing that is
one of the
top things that. Well, yeah, because like if I had a super fit body,
I'd put it out there.
I'd straight up do it tomorrow. Or like if I. And those of you listening, if you don't know, I recently found myself unemployed. So income generating ideas are pretty appealing to me right now.
If you want a CD,
yeah, I don't know. Yeah. If I had more confidence.
You should have all the confidence in the world. You should, I don't know, make something creative with that ukulele behind you. Just like cleverly covering.
Or playing
did
it.
I told,
what did you say? Or playing it with the just moving it up and down.
Can you do the My Ding-a-ling song? Ding, my ding-a-ling.
Oh, no. I told you guys that I did a play and I did full frontal nudity to a large auditorium.
Yeah, I feel like we don't of your stories, I feel like this is the one we don't get very much, but we should.
Oh yeah. Well, it's a good one. I was in a 10 minute film. No, not film. 10-minute one act festival or something like that. And it was in New York, and I had a bunch of people. There was a huge crowd and a lot of people that I knew in that crowd. And the play was written, and all of the rehearsals was me in a robe and in my underwear. And it was a monologue, but it was basically like talking about being a swinger in a hide and seek situation. And this swinger guy was like telling saying all the rules and like how fun it is. And like certain people, you have to make sure that everyone's aware and like everyone's comfortable and blah, 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 through this whole monologue. And then I stood up and I'm like, oh, well, ready or not, here I come. And I stand up, and the punchline is that I'm butt naked underneath my robe. And I had done the whole rehearsal process in underwear, and it was always like, ready or not, here I come. And I open up and I put my hands on my hips, and I am just like front to the audience. And anyway, the performance time, and the director's like, are you gonna be naked? And I was like, isn't that the punchline? It'd be weird if I was just in my underwear. And he's like, yeah, no, I mean, that's how it's written, so yeah, okay. So anyway, I did it. It was a cold auditorium. My penis was very small, especially in such a large auditorium. Yeah, exactly. And like I did it, and everybody, like half the audience shrieked, and like it did not go over well.
Were you all shaved up though?
I mean, I was like, not particularly. No, like, I mean, like,
it was permed.
It was mostly permed. But then, because that's the thing. I was sitting cross-legged through the whole monologue, and then I stood up, and then so like my ding dong was like as small as it could have been, and like, and it did this like stupid turtle thing as I stood up. So
unpeels from your leg.
Were like, is that the uncircumcised
like
guy?
A Buffalo Bill thing in the Silence of the Lambs?
No, exactly. Yeah, it was not a proud moment, but I was like, back then I had the confidence because I was like, fuck it, you know, I'm in New York and I'm an actor. But
you know, one of the weird things for me is, speaking of being naked on stage and acting, when I was 16 and naked in high school, we did the Anything Goes, right? And me and John came out in our underwear. Oh, yeah,
in underwear, huh?
And like, for all the times that I would, well, which weren't very many, actually, for the times that I would be on stage and I had any sort of lines, I was always so nervous. But to run out with almost no clothes on as a teenager, like, I don't know. I think I found that kind of fun.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun. I felt like we did that sort of stupid shit anyway.
Like, I guess. You want to see my bruise kind of stuff?
Yeah, yeah. As our recreation. Ah, to be young.
But to the question, I'm gonna be indifferent. Say, do what you want.
I mean, yeah, do what you want, but also like there's also pretty clear ethics around it, and so just look at it objectively.
I'm also sure you could put that money towards your 401k. So
how much are you spending on porn?
Yeah.
Wait. Is there an option to match for porn? Because
match from your employer. Hey, what's
your porn match?
What stock ticker is XNXX? You spent a lot of money, you invested in it. I kind of want to get on board.
The top answer here is, after finishing YouPorn during lockdown, you need something new.
Finishing YouPorn? Like going through the entire catalog?
Yeah, wow. That's their joke. I had a coworker that told me he doesn't spend money on alcohol, smokes, gambling, or games. He's single and sometimes just feels good to gift an OnlyFans model a bad dragon. What? A bad dragon, and watch them go to town on themselves while having a stroke marathon. I said, that's cool, man. Good for you. Went back to work. That's a bad dragon.
I don't know. It has to be something.
Do you think it's one of those, what was that thing that we were talking about a couple months ago about those people that filmed themselves and were the, like, people would gift them like a rose and they would like smell the rose.
Oh, the NCPs?
Oh, NPCs.
NPCs, yeah.
NPCs, yeah.
Well, this person like says, Siri, please help me un-Google bad dragon. I made a mistake.
So what does it mean?
Please help me un-Google. That's funny. Okay, I'll do it. I'll Google it. Bad dragon. What is it? Oh, sex toy company. Oh, gift a bad dragon. Oh, I see. So you like send gift.
Well, you can gift like a gift. Got it. Hey, what's your guys' addresses again?
Bad Dragon is verifying that I'm human. Okay.
Product. No, I'm a dragon.
Oh. Wow. These are aggressive.
Well, I'm reading somebody's explaining what they are. And this person says they're a maker of fantasy dildos and fleshlights, like dragon cocks or centaur cocks, manticore and unicorn pussies, etc. Really just any absurd imaginary / fantasy beast genitalia, plus some real life animal type cocks and cunts like horses and dolphins, etc.
Jesus. I see an egg plug. It looks like an egg on a pedestal, but it clearly goes in your butthole. And then also there's like a couple of paws here, like a dragon foot. Like a foot. You could do all kinds of things with that.
You have a very specific foot fetish.
Oh my. These are there's a fleshlight, but it's like clearly a wolf mouth. It's like teeth and everything. This is aggressive.
It's like
Now like I know where my severance is going to go.
there's a
bumper stickers.
There's an individual in here. I can't remember the company's name, but they make gothic sex toys. Like all of the toys come in coffins.
Oh, that's cute.
But they're really aggressive. I wonder if I can. All right, this Google search is going to be weird for a minute until I find the name.
Yeah, no, I just definitely put myself on a list of some sort.
Why are gothic sex toys already pulled up in my search?
Well, history. Were
you telling us about that your company like worked with them or something?
Hmm?
Huh? Are you telling us that your company worked with them or something?
Oh,
talked about them before.
Yeah, we were trying to work with them to do some product photography, but it didn't work out. Man, what was the name of that? I'll have to.
Didn't work out because all their shit went missing after they sent it to you. I don't know what happened to that stuff. I said, I don't know.
But yeah, I don't know. I do what you want, do what you're comfortable with doing, and leave me out of the bad dragon part of it.
Yeah, me too.
You can find it on our Amazon wish list. Check out our Amazon wish list.
Add to cart.
I know. Where's the add all button?
You just send me a sampler platter.
Yeah, do you have a tasting? A flight?
Oh, I like the Anubis. Oh man.
Oh.
All right, let's get serious. And
incognito.
We got the next question.
The next question comes to us from Ask Reddit, username Flendy15. They ask, aliens have given you 60 seconds to show them two items to prove humanity is worth saving. What do you show them?
Bat dragon. Look. You can put whatever it is that you have in this or in you.
And then they're just going to be like, nope, you guys are dead.
they immediately eviscerate the planet. That we're worth saving.
I gotta close this browser.
I've got nothing. How many minutes do we have?
You have 60 seconds to show them two items to prove humanity is worth saving. Oh. I guess you could show them your children and just.
I guess that would like lives. The sentimental would be yeah.
like a TikTok e-boy.
You show them a cheesy gordita crunch from Taco Bell.
Oh, that, hey, that's good.
Now you, I don't care what you eat on your planet. You taste this and tell me that this isn't outwardly awesome.
Show them a beautiful Italian sub.
The gabagool. It's the gabagool. You gotta spare us, man.
I mean, I kind of feel like anything that you would show them, like other than your family members or whatever, would are things that have happened in the past, like works of art or architecture. And I feel like everything worth saving has already happened. Like there's no real like, I don't
there's
know.
No this present. Is
pessimistic, but there's no real like hope for the future of art and architecture and all of that.
Yeah. Oh, I guess I would show them. I mean, this is like I don't have anything to show them, but like perhaps the
your OnlyFans page.
Probably my OnlyFans page. No, I was gonna say something to the effect of like one of the videos that Brian Cox does about the like explaining how black holes work, or maybe the double slit experiment and us trying to figure that out.
What is that, a bad dragon thing?
It's a bad dragon thing. It everything goes back to bad dragon now. From here on out, this is a bad dragon podcast. No,
sponsored by bad dragon.
Meow.
Oh god. No, I mean like basically like, oh, CERN. Maybe CERN. The particle collider.
What if they're like, we've already mastered space travel. This is like showing us a.
I think if they show up here,
rock with a.
Yeah, they're like, I remember when I did that.
Right, that was in our exactly, history book. Right, exactly. But that's saying that we are making continued efforts, because you were talking about like, what do we have now? Like all the art, all everything that's like wow worthy happened before. So like, to counter that, like things that we're currently working on. Obviously, we're not to your specifications. Or rather, we're not to your expertise in these, but like we are making efforts towards that. And hopefully that would be like, oh, you guys are doing that too. You guys are just behind us by a couple thousand years or whatever.
Yeah, but they might view it as, we could still kill them before they get to that point and then want to come to our planet.
Well, right. At that point. Sure.
Yeah, obviously they're a warring people.
At that point, yeah, I mean, there's nothing that we could. If I was better at a guitar, I could play them a song like, on the guitar, maybe that would be something.
I would show them like 60 seconds of day drinking on Bourbon Street. Be like, come on. It's pretty
come
great,
on.
Isn't it?
Have you ever heard of Give the them... hand grenade?
You ever had a cigarette after three beers?
Yeah. Yeah. A sunrise in a cabin with your morning coffee and a cigarette. Just be like, watch this. Just watch this.
This is called a lucky strike. And note that there's no filter. You're welcome.
Show them that, and then like while you're eating a chicken fried steak or something.
Or I'd show them a picture of something and then sack tap them and be like, we're hilarious.
Just show them Jackass.
Like, eh? The slow-mo. Was it Jackass 3 that they did the slow-mo dildos firing out of cannons?
Yeah. That. In the intro.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that there's a whole lot worth. I don't know what I would show you in 60 seconds, I guess. That's a very short period of time.
The hamburger from puppetry.
I mean, you could like, yeah, if you showed them a zoo or something, that would probably piss them off and be like, you do this to your animals? Like, you people are monsters.
Yeah, like you take them to go get a cheeseburger or something, like take them to McDonald's and be like, French fries, shake, and a burger, and like, oh, you eat those things? Oh, like those are gods on our planet. Like,
I know there's no version that we make it out of this encounter.
Yeah, you may. I mean, like, some people do have some very like some people have some very earnest answers, and
all right, let's hear a couple of them.
I want to hear an earnest answer.
Well, the top answer here is this threat is proof they're not going to want to save us even harder. But the next person out said, I had to put down the family dog yesterday. As I walked out, I saw three lit candles sitting on the counter in the main lobby area in front of a sign that said, someone is saying goodbye to a loved one. Please speak softly and be respectful. That was one of the most beautiful human things I've seen in a while. I had just pulled myself back together. Needless to say, I lost it again. But being that everyone in the lobby was absolutely being quiet and respectful in a usual semi-chatty room, it was a bit of faith in humanity. It was a bit of a faith in humanity restore. And I don't know about the other thing, probably a puppy. I like dogs.
Well, I mean, boo-hoo. We're still killing the world.
Puppies are a really good idea. Because they're like a golden retriever puppy or like a... Yeah.
Great Dane says, puppy?
Come on.
A Chopin Nocturne in a wildlife rehabilitation center.
Yeah.
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. OxyClean in the original Crossfire commercial. my banana bread because business opportunities don't get any better, and then bribe them with my prettiest rock.
All right. Fair enough.
The succulent Chinese meal clip and gas station queso machines.
This is democracy manifest.
I love that clip.
Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal? Oh, I see you've studied your judo. Anyway,
doesn't he say in that clip also that someone's grabbing his dick?
Yeah, he's like, you're grabbing my penis. Oh, or like, get your hand off my penis. Or
yeah, that's what it is. Get your hand off
it. What are you guys talking about? It's just called succulent Chinese meal.
Look up succulent Chinese meal and you'll find the video.
It's like a clip from Australia of this guy getting arrested. I don't even know the context of it, but just everything he's saying is so funny. And it's probably like, I mean, the clip's probably like 30 years old or something at this point.
Oh man, all I put in was SUC and it came up. Oh, I know this image. I guess I've never seen the clip.
It's pretty funny.
He's getting arrested for something. And...
But like the way he speaks, he's like very theatrical. Mm-hmm. And anyway, Dolly Parton and a puppy. Yeah.
Two girls, one cup.
Oh man, this person
such a fast way to kill everybody. That's a
quick way to die. Yeah.
You know what though? That's how you know what? So Jake, you said there's no way we're making it out of this, and we've already agreed that we can't do anything. So it's like, is this like the final thing that you could possibly do for humanity? Is like you tell them, this will save humanity. Look up "Never Gonna Give You Up" by Rick Astley. you rickroll the aliens of the killer.
They don't know it, but you know it. You
tell them like two girls, one cup. They're like, oh.
This person says left boob and right boob.
probably doesn't hit the same as left testicle, right testicle. I don't know that would be as worthy of saving.
Dark side of the moon and a bong.
That's actually pretty good.
Yeah, but LSD. 60 seconds in a Pink Floyd song is just like dong. That's it? You just played one note?
They're like, just one note? Oh, you guys have bells? Cool.
It's like, wait, 60 more seconds. Give me 60 more seconds.
Alice in Wonderland. What's the
Wizard of Oz.
Wizard of Oz, that's what it is.
Well, listener, let us know what you would show aliens to save humanity. and maybe you have some better answers than us or other people in the comments.
I would just ask him, what? You never seen D's?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to die anyway.
I like this route that you're taking, Matt. You're like,
oh, I'm going out with a
lot. I'm
going
to get him. I'm going to get him.
Because you know when they'd be on their way back? They'd be like, hey, remember when we killed that plane? Yeah, that was crazy. We'll tell everybody back home. Hey, you remember that guy that showed us that thing before we destroyed him? You see, you can take D's back to your planet.
Oh, man. Good.
Well, this has been a silly episode, so
dude, let's get a little so silly.
We've had a lot of fun tonight, folks, but but thank you all for listening, and thank you to our loyal patrons for supporting the show. If you haven't already, head over to Patreon at patreon.com/qualifiednonsense to show your support. Watch us over on YouTube at youtube.com/@qualifiednonsense. Also, feel free to send any questions or comments to qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or hit us up on our socials found in the episode description. After you've done all that, please also rate, review, share, like, and subscribe on your podcast app of choice. We'll see you back here next week for another brand new episode of Qualified Nonsense.
Goodbye.
Have a good one, y'all.